What are you thinking about? At this moment, you're thinking, I just caught you thinking about other stuff than Mass. Or you're thinking, how long is this sermon going to be? What is Father getting at? But more than just at this moment, throughout your days, what are you thinking about? Where is your mind? This is a crucially important question because where we set our minds, where we plant our thoughts, our hearts take root. Our hearts follow our minds. And then our actions become the fruits. And if we plant our minds in a good place, and then our hearts take root in that good place, then the fruit we bear is good, it's sweet, it's life-giving, it's nourishing. But when the opposite is true, when we plant our minds in bad, dirty soil, when our thoughts are consistently in the wrong place, we should not be surprised if our hearts are perturbed, filled with anxiety, rancor, anger. And then our actions, our thoughts, our words, our deeds are sour fruit. Our fruit that has been rotten and spoiled. And so the big question that we should ask ourselves today, but then throughout the rest of our days is, where is my mind? Is my mind soaring up to heaven? Is it soaring to the highest heights of where God is, or is it sinking into the depths of depravity in this world in which we live? Because we are meant to bear fruit, and all of us do. The question is it going to be good fruit? The fruit of a life well lived, or is it going to be sour, stinky, rotten fruit? Because in the first reading, we read the words of the Lord where he says, "Why then, when I looked for the crop of grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes?" Now, that word there, translated wild, it's actually putrid. Stinky grapes. You know, ones that are worthless and not able to be eaten. And sometimes we may look at our own lives and think, you know what, that's kind of the fruit that I often bear. Even though I have somewhere deep down a desire to be good, I keep on saying things that I regret. I keep on doing things that I wish I hadn't. And so we investigate. Where is my heart rooted? And how did it get there? Probably because my mind was in the wrong place. We can see this play out. If when we see somebody who consistently annoys us and the only thing we ever see in them, if our mind is only on their faults, their failures, their weaknesses, what a disappointment they are to us, our heart is not long after going to start bearing hatred for them or contempt. And then our actions toward them, it's an uphill battle to be kind because our mind is in their faults. Our heart is beginning to hate them, so of course our words are going to have a little edge to them. Of course our actions aren't going to be naturally and spontaneously kind, but more often than not, vindictive. Or if I continually keep in my mind, I populate it with images that are impure. If I'm constantly, when I see somebody that I'm attracted to, I just look at them and immediately they're an object for my gratification. Well, then my heart starts to lust rather than love. Right? It starts to want to take rather than to give. It turns this unique, unrepeatable creation of God Almighty, one of his sons and daughters, and turns it into my toy that I want. But then, if those are all the images that I consume, if that's what I populate my mind with, then it becomes this vicious cycle of my mind is in an impure place, my heart becomes impure, and then, of course, my actions, they're not going to be good. There are so many different ways. The other thing, we could be constantly consuming politics. And then we shouldn't be surprised if in our hearts there's a lot of discord, there's a lot of anxiety about where the world's going, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of looking at the other side as just pure enemies that I don't even have to treat as human beings. And then my actions, I'm not going to be kind, I'm not going to be loving. Okay, so what's the remedy? Well, St. Paul gives it to us beautifully. In the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, he says, "Finally, brothers, and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, lovely, gracious, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, think about these things. We can stop ourselves in the middle of our thoughts throughout our days this week, and we can think, this, what I'm thinking of, is it true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, gracious, or excellent? If not, why am I wasting my thoughts on this? When I look at another, do I only see their faults? Or do I, in that moment, allow my thoughts to soar to heaven, to God Almighty, and say, Lord, give me your eyes. Help me to see them the way that you do. And then at that moment, instead of my mind being chained to this earth with all of its strife, with all of its dog-eat-dog system that we buy into, it's freed. It's freed to see people as God sees them. So this is not my enemy, but it's my brother or my sister. Yes, they may still annoy me, but finally I'm able to see good things about them rather than bad, because my thoughts are not chained to this world, but free to soar to heaven. Throughout the day, in every single situation, we can pause for a second and just say, Lord, bring my thoughts to you. And then it purifies them. And once our mind is purified, our heart soon follows. And once our heart is planted and rooted in a good place, the fruits we bear are finally good as well. Because ultimately, a life bearing good fruits, that's what we desire. What we desire is what St. Paul says. He says, have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. We desire that, but it seems to us like naive, wishful thinking. When he says, have no anxiety at all, we think, Paul, it's 2020. There's no possible way to not have anxiety. If it's not a pandemic, then it's natural disasters. It's not natural disasters, it's the disaster that is politics in this nation. If it's not this, it's that. If it's not out there, it's in my family. If it's not in my family, it's in my own mind. And all of the wrestling matches that I have there with how I see myself. So much that we could be anxious about if our minds are chained to just the here and now, just this world. But if we free them to throughout the day soar up to heaven and have God give us his perspective, then yeah, we actually can live lives with less anxiety. We can actually have what Paul promises us here. He says, then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This week, may we allow it to be so.